His word, which we have easy access to in the Bible, will not return empty. It will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. Not what we desire or the purpose that we have, but what he's promising is that when we do spend time in his word, whether it's, you know, getting through a chapter or, like you said, just focusing on a couple of verses, it's never gonna return to God empty. That time we invest is always going to accomplish what God desires and the purpose that he has.
Welcome to Study with Friends. We are a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through his word. This week is part 5 of our study in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're picking up this week in the conversation with tips and tools for allowing God to bear fruit in our lives and the lives of those around us. We're talking about patience, the common definition of patience. And we talked earlier about that being more the long-suffering and enduring. So let me think about, I do think that there's a crossover, and I think there is a crossover. I mean, if your family's impatient for you to come home for lunch, they need to endure to the time you come through the door. But I think it's good for us to be mindful of not asking God to fill the common definition of the fruit as we ask for the fruit to be increased in our life, but that we are looking at his definition of what he wants to do in our life. Isn't that so typical that I'm like, here's what I want you to do in my life? And what I want to be mindful of is, are we asking at least also, if not instead, for what he wants to do in our life? I mean, I think patience, it's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong what we're doing. I did it too. And as you were saying it, I was like, oh, wait, that's not the definition, the biblical definition that we established. It's not so terribly different. Like, I think goodness is quite different. And gentleness, I think, is quite different. The common definition to the biblical definition. I don't think patience is that far off, but I think it's probably worth noting that as we ask God to increase the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we're asking for the right version, what he wants. I don't know. I just felt like that was worth making a note of.
And as we allow him to fill us with, you know, patience.
His Spirit.
Yeah, through his Spirit to fill us, you know.
Then these things will come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I interpreted this question quite differently. When you were asking, where do you feel the most fruitless in your life? So I didn't select a fruit. I was thinking of what area of my life I feel the most fruitless.
That's good.
And I guess that's sort of going back to our thought of all the fruit goes together.
Yep.
You know, and that's definitely something that I've experienced is, you know, when I'm better at one, I'm better at all of them. When I'm not doing so well with one, I'm not doing so
and
well with
when,
any of them.
When are you better and when are you worse?
Well, when I'm filled with the Spirit, of course, is when I'm better. So what I thought of the area of my life that I struggle the most with being fruitful is with my family. And a few years ago, I sensed God telling me that I was giving my best to everyone else and my family was getting whatever was left over. It wasn't like a big fat turkey and stuffing sandwich the day after Thanksgiving. It was more like the crumbs at the bottom of the cereal box. No fruit involved. Over the last several years, I've been working on that. And when I've been obedient and putting my family first, and you know, everyone that lives not alone has some kind of family, and you know that each has different needs. One needs an apple a day, one needs bananas, another likes berries. And when I am obedient to God and focus on putting them first and showing and bearing fruit in their, me bearing fruit in their lives, somehow there's always some kind of fruit salad left for everyone else.
Fruit salad. That is really fun.
It is really good.
Yes.
That is yummy.
I feel like that's
super insightful, Cindy.
Yeah. Well, very
much. I think it's a common experience too.
And it doesn't work the other way around. When I put other people first, when I put everyone and everything first, my family just gets those crumbs. When I'm obedient to God and I treat them with the fruit of the Spirit, then there's always enough left for everyone.
Like the loaves and the fishes. I have to say that I noticed that in my time management. Mm-hmm. When I put God first in the morning, it's as if I have multiplication of the time in the day. And I'm like, I have leftover at the end. I'm like, I have time and nothing to do. And I mean, of course, nothing is an overstatement. There's always something to do, but I have time and no urgent things.
Yeah.
And when I don't put God first, the whole day is chaotic. And it's like God saying, bring me your first fruit. Mm-hmm. Fruit. Mm-hmm. Bring me your first fruits and I will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
I find that that's true in my time management. I don't always do it, but I find that. So the same thing
I'm
is.
I'm going to do the reverse real quick. I want to interrupt you. Such a good thought. I think it's the reverse also. God saying, come to me and I want to give you the fruits.
That's the same.
You said you're giving God your first fruits, but I think he's saying.
Oh, different definition of fruit.
Right. So
first fruits.
Okay. I guess I was thinking of spirit. So and he's saying, come to me first and you will get all of this.
Yeah. The biblical definition of first fruits is like your best.
Right.
Okay, so so God says it's like always with the offering and the sacrifice all throughout. He says, bring me the calf without blemish.
Okay.
Don't bring me your scraps, like Cindy's saying. Bring me your best. Okay. Don't hold your best for yourself. Bring me your best and I'll multiply what you've given me with blessings and blessings and blessings.
Thank you for that.
No, and I don't mean to contradict what you're saying. But it's all connected because the fruit that comes from that, the blessings that come from that, if we could in this particular moment substitute the word fruit for blessings of the Spirit, just to separate out that fruit word, the blessings that come from that are abundant. If you can just show up, give me the beginning of your day, give me or the people that I've provided to you, the best of you, give me your best and I'll multiply your best. And give me your scraps and that's all you're going to have anywhere. And that's not good. Nobody wants that except my dog. My dog loves the scraps. Mm-hmm. That was super insightful and wise.
So wise.
My wise Cindy, who I love so much.
God, there's a reason why God has so much to teach me.
What?
Because I have so much to learn.
Oh, I didn't understand. I know, but I learn a lot from you. I do learn a lot from you.
I did also think about, we were also talking about how do we get to that fruit? How do we get there? Whether we're picking out a specific fruit to work on or looking at the overall picture. And for me, I thought reading the word.
Yeah.
It's not the only thing, but that's the best thing for me. And I was actually looking back to that chapter in Isaiah 55, the verses after what we had talked about earlier, verses 10 and 11, that say, as the rain and the snow come down from earth and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So that's Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11. And I should have prefaced this with that this is the Lord speaking. So the Lord is saying that his word, which we have easy access to in the Bible, will not return empty. It will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. Not what we desire or the purpose that we have, but what he's promising is that when we do spend time in his word, whether it's getting through a chapter or like you said, just focusing on a couple of verses, it's never going to return to God empty. That time we invest is always going to accomplish what God desires and the purpose that he has.
Thank you for bringing that up. So very we have good. A few tools that I've heard so far. Worship and time in God's word, which I think are really important. And actually what you said, which was journaling, but I'm going to ask you if it's okay with you. For me to encompass journaling under prayer, because journaling is a conversation with God.
Absolutely.
You're listening and you're receiving and you're responding. And that's really prayer. And so honestly, those are the three best tools, I think, to make sure that God's spirit is increasing in your life. And then the fruit is being produced. Time in the word, worship, and prayer. And guess what? People ask me a lot about discernment. Guess what the prescription is? Time in the word, worship, and prayer. That's sort of a three-legged stool. Without one leg, it's not as good. And I want to just lift those out as tools, because if we're going to talk about all this, we should really give like good practical ways. And those are the practical, what can I do tomorrow? What can I do right now? How can I make this a reality in my life so that these ideas are less in the cloud and more in my life, my actual everyday moment to moment. And we skipped around. Look, I do want to talk about the theme of the book of Galatians. That's in your homework. I think it's almost always a bad idea to look at a verse or a couple of verses in isolation. Even though we talked about meditating on a small section of scripture, of course you want to do that. But when you're ready to understand God's word and you really want to dive deeper and get a better understanding, one of the best things you can do, I always say, it's good to know the address, but you should also know the neighborhood. So you have a verse that you love. Go and read the rest of that chapter. Go and read the rest of that book. And many people who study the Bible, scholars, would agree that the theme of the book of Galatians is freedom in Christ. And so before we finish up, a couple of the things that I wanted to note about that, if we agree that the theme of Galatians is freedom in Christ, specifically Galatians, I think 5:1, the first part of Galatians 5:1, it's longer than I'm going to read to you, but
just 5:1.
Yeah, but even just the very beginning about freedom.
I have it. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you had to distill it to, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that's like, we're going to talk about freedom to what, freedom from what. But in the context of fruit of the Spirit, I want to ask you a question. And that is, what does freedom look like? What do you wish you could be free from? And in conjunction with that, I want to do the juxtaposition exercise that I said in the homework about what is the opposite of. So I made an example earlier of the opposite for me of patience is frustration. And that's in the common definition and in the God-ordained definition, because I get frustrated with drama, like I was saying, and I don't do the long suffering. I submit to the frustration and I bail out. So to me, the opposite of patience is frustration. So what would I love to be? So when I put that in the context of freedom, I would love to be free from frustration. You see where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. And then if freedom from frustration is patience, if I really want to be free from it, what is the prescription? What is the recipe for me to get there? What is it? Time in the word, worship, and prayer. And so I can talk a good game about like, oh, I wish I didn't feel this way. I wish I didn't act this way. But am I going to put my money where my mouth is and say, I truly want freedom from that? Then that means I abide in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys say stuff about that now.
Well, I thought it was interesting. The first sentence of this verse, it reminded me of the good for goodness sake, actually. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I sort of looked that up in a few different translations and was trying to figure out exactly what that means. My thought on it is that he didn't set us free from the law only to be bound by sin.
Yep.
Or in this case, in this chapter, he's also talking about turning back to being bound by the law. But I think in a more something that would be more common for us would be just to know that he didn't set us free from the law only to be bound by sin, which we can easily do to ourselves.
Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
Neither did he set me free just to go be sinful.
Yes.
Because some people do that too.
Good point.
I'm saved now. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's worth
definitely
just looking at.
you asked what does freedom look like to you. I sort of thought of the past, the present, and the future. Freedom from past mistakes, freedom from the world's expectations, and free to approach the throne of the one true God, which is the most important aspect of our freedom in Christ.
I'm sorry. You're just so awesome. Say it again. I'm sorry. You don't tell me you feel that same way right now. I'm sorry. I'm not freeing you from pride, but whatever. That's your problem. Say it again. Freedom from past mistakes. I'm writing it down.
So it was worth missing the opening night of NFL when I was doing this last night.
Was worth it to me.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
This is good. Freedom from past mistakes.
Freedom from past mistakes. Freedom from the world's expectations. And free to approach the throne of the one true God.
So this is past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. So good. I'm writing it down. Grace. Oh, man. That's really good. I feel like we need to do a whole series about that. There's so much in there.
Yeah.
But that is what freedom looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll hit those notes in the Galatians study. You got to try to come back for that one.
I'd like that.
Try. Okay. So we're just going to say it one more time. And then we're going to let, we free you as the listener to go and ruminate in that. I wish we could, but we can't. Freedom from past mistakes, freedom from the world's expectations, and freedom to approach the throne of grace. Cindy. Oh, man. Okay, that's good. I don't know how to top that, but it's okay. What else do you guys want to say about freedom?
I think she encapsulated.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cindy.
You're asking us now?
She's cliff noted it. No, it's good. And I mean, obviously, there's so much that looks like. There's so much that looks like. That's why it's resounding with us. It's like so many things are floating, flying around in my head right now. What are the past mistakes? And how do I cling to those? And why am I not embracing freedom? Why am I embracing condemnation? Why? That doesn't make sense. And why am I embracing the world's expectations when I'm adopted and I'm loved and I'm saved? Why am I holding on to the thing that makes me the most frustrated, the thing that makes me feel bad? Why am I not clinging to the freedom that Christ provided for me?
When he died on the cross.
Yeah. So
it's already been done.
And why do I feel like I can't approach the throne of grace for those reasons? Maybe even the most because of the mistakes. And I feel like I'm not worthy. So that is true freedom. That's good. You did good homework.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing your homework last night. Okay. So I think
remember that any revelation we have when we're reading the Bible is from God. It's not
right.
Us.
You're right.
Amen.
Cindy, you're right. Good. So we're okay. So I just want to wrap up by talking about that bigger concept, freedom in Christ, and freedom in Christ equals living in a Christ-centered life, letting go of self, letting God diminish self in my life and increase himself in my innermost places. And the tools to do that are just consistently spend time in the Word, spend time in worship, get to church on Sunday, get to your Bible study, get to that coffee date with a girlfriend that you know has wisdom and has God's best in her heart for you. Don't let those things fall to the side, because the product, the fruit in your life that results when you neglect those things is not the fruit you want. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the person you want to be. It's not the person that God's created you to be and adopted you to be and saved you to be. And so I just want to wrap up with that. Is there more that anybody else wants to say? Okay. That's it. I think I'm good. Any other notes that you felt like really resounded with you as you were doing your homework? Things that you felt like were important to you?
I guess just for me, it's a daily exercise. You know, many, many times throughout the day, it's totally a daily exercise.
It's and it's the discipline, self-control, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a circle.
Yep.
But the thing is that I do have to show up at the top of that circle. If I willfully and sinfully refuse, passively or aggressively, if I just allow other things to overtake my schedule, which I would say is kind of passive, or if I aggressively when I wake up on Sunday saying, no, I'm not going. Passively or aggressively, when I don't start, I'm not going to say at the top of that circle. I don't like the visual. I'll say at the bottom of the circle and let God begin to draw me up to him. And as he draws me to him, the fruit rains down in my life and myself and those around me. If I don't start that process by showing up, it all is a bust. Mm-hmm. So I, of course, you know, I was just saying to Maria yesterday, who was a girlfriend I showed up for my coffee date with, because I know she has wisdom for me. And I just said to her, you have good self-discipline. And I said to her, you are a person who's good at making and keeping habits. And of course, that's a very admirable trait. But more than that, it's required. We have to show up. And guess what? If you're at a place where you're like, I don't even know how to show up, the circle persists because God is faithful mm-hmm. when you can't be faithful. And when you're in the depths of depression or when you're physically unable to get to church, that's okay. No one here is condemning that. God will meet you where you are and he'll get you there. That's the amazing gift of God and Jesus Christ, that he, even while we were still sinners, mm-hmm. Christ died for us, and that we love God because he first loved us. And so the circle involves you, but less so than maybe we would like to think. And in some days, it's a relief to know that it involves me less than I might want to believe it does. And so I'll say again, when I look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit and I say I can't, that's not the problem, that's the solution. Can we close in prayer? Okay. Man, I just love spending time in your word, Lord. That is an especially blessed place. Thank you for your faithful people whom I love, three of whom are sitting around the table with me today, and how much wisdom they have and how much they teach me. Thank you for using people to teach people. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit wisdom throughout, that any good and perfect thing is from you. And so that's true of our understanding as well. And I thank you for blessing us with that, for gifting us with that, for showing us and just unpacking with us today what you are trying to do in our lives. And God, I thank you that you love us so much that you want to do it, and that you will be faithless to us even when we can't find a way to show up. You find us and you love us and you are patient with us and you are gentle and you are kind and you are good. God, I just thank you for that. And we lift up this time and ask you to bless it as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener supported, we do rely on your prayers and financial support. This month, we're considering our radio station plan for 2017. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org or a donation. All donations go directly to the cost of teaching God's word on air and online. Please consider a donation of any amount. It's really not the amount you give. No amount is too small. We just want to know that we're bearing fruit here on your station. You can contact us and let us know where you listen, and also give most easily at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Don't forget you can listen online too. We have every radio series we've ever done archived on studywithfriends.org, so tool around on our website to find topics that interest you. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration and encouragement. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.